Sometimes the oddest things arouse controversy. There are two modes of cognitive functioning, two modes of thought, the psychologist Jerome Bruner wrote in 1986, each providing distinctive ways of ordering experience, of constructing reality. Parallel to logical reasoning, Bruner was saying, there exists another mode of thought that's far less well understood, what I call narrative thinking. William James had said as much in 1878. To say that all human thinking is essentially of two kinds, reasoning on the one hand and narrative, descriptive, contemplative thinking on the other, is to say only what every reader's experience will corroborate. James was the most eminent American psychologist of his day, just as his brother Henry was America's preeminent novelist. Yet when Bruner made essentially the same assertion a century later, the novelist and philosopher Rebecca Goldstein, writing in the New York Times Book Review, called it a truly radical claim. It seemed that way then, because in the intervening years, science had largely blinded itself to stories. They were frivolous, unworthy of serious study. If we live in a sea of stories, as Bruner put it, most psychologists would have been the last to know. Eminent in his field, yet relatively little known to the wider public, Bruner was one of those people whose ideas shape culture in ways most of us are barely aware of. He had already backed one revolution in his field, in the 1950s when, as a professor at Harvard, he helped lead a rebellion against radical behaviorism, then the dominant school in American psychology. Behaviorism, championed by his Harvard colleague B.F. Skinner, sought to limit psychology to that which can be scientifically and empirically observed, which is to say, behavior. It rejected anything so vague and fuzzy as the mind, along with such related concepts as intentions, beliefs, and desires. In Skinner's view, the mind is a black box. Humans, like any other organism, can be properly understood only through objectively observable behaviors which various stimuli produce. To consider anything else would be unscientific. Human behavior becomes entirely predictable in such a scheme, free will an illusion. We are input-output machines, nothing more. Skinner was a towering yet polarizing figure in Harvard's psychology department, holder of a prestigious professorship, awarded the National Medal of Science by President Lyndon Johnson, author of the influential utopian novel Walden 2, as well as the 1971 bestseller Beyond Freedom and Dignity. Or, as some of his less admiring students called it, Towards Slavery and Humiliation. By this time, however, behaviorism was on the way out. The cognitive revolution was well underway in 1960, when Bruner launched the Center for Cognitive Studies with another Harvard colleague, George Miller. Where behaviorists assumed the mind was a black box, cognitive psychologists like Bruner and Miller, along with such people as Noam Chomsky and Marvin Minsky at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, presumed to look inside, exploring the processes of cognition, memory, language, perception, to see how we work. Bruner's approach was further rooted in the notion that we make sense of the world by constructing our own reality. Nothing that is out there in the world is there in and of itself, he once told an interviewer. You're always constructing it. During the 60s and 70s, Bruner applied this idea to child development and education reform. In 1972, alienated from Harvard by its treatment of student activists during the Vietnam War era, he and his wife Blanche sailed their yacht across the Atlantic with a small crew, and he took up a professorship at Oxford. By the start of the 80s, when he returned to the U.S. to accept a chair at the New School for Social Research in New York City, he was starting to believe that our concept of reality is shaped, if not defined, by stories. That reality is a construct, and narrative the chief means of construction.